Right. Well, welcome. And it is recording. Yay. It became clear to me after I started that there was some desire to do some kind of regular, not necessarily Bible study, but some kind of regular adult formation weekly
Conversation.
conversation. There is still interest from other people about doing something in the evenings. There's been a lot of interest in going back to that. There's a fly flying around. There's been a lot of interest in going back to that pub theology thing that was done once a
All
month
right,
out where we
right.
go out and
Mm-hmm.
have
We did
drinks
that.
and
Yeah.
chat. So
Yeah.
those are all things that are still on the table and haven't necessarily been said no. But there's also been a period of I do things differently from Vicky, and
Oh,
it's
sure.
really not needed a kind of break.
Yeah.
To make sure that we don't just assume things will go forward the same
Sure.
way. So I do apologize for the length of time here.
It's been a busy
It's
couple
been a
months.
few, yeah, it
Oh,
has been a busy few
no.
months,
There's no apology needed. We appreciate it,
and
though.
I also don't know where people are. I know that Sarah Reith was doing a Bible study, and prior to her, Sarah Aniskevich did a Bible study about the Gospel of Thomas, which was well outside of our realm of normal Bible studies
Yeah,
and
yes.
was well received from my
Yeah, it was
understanding. And
well
I
received.
loved the Gospel of
Very
Thomas. I wish I
fascinating.
had been there to take her Bible study
Yeah, it
because,
was very interesting.
yeah.
Yeah,
And
it
she is
was.
great about pulling things together.
Yes.
Um,
Yes.
Sarah Reith goes very in depth from my understanding in terms of digging into
Yes.
the text behind.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
Good.
know how familiar all of you are with the Bible in general. So I thought we'd spend some time for the first day talking about what our experience is, what we know about the Bible, and then we can kind of work from there. When I asked for information on the survey, what I got was there were really two groups. There was the group who said, I read the Bible regularly, but it's really hard for me to find a consistent thread throughout it. And
Interesting.
trying to find what holds everything together is what I want to work on. And then I got another group that was, I read the Bible regularly and I'm able to do the in-depth studies, and that fascinates me, but I feel like I'm missing something. And then I got a third group, which is I don't read the Bible regularly, but I'd really like to find something to do that lets me be exposed to the Bible, but I'm scared by going in depth. So
Interesting.
that was where that's why I've kind of been trying to find this right balance of where do we go in the middle.
We as Catholics, and there's a lot of us in the organization, were
Yes.
brought up and trained to be afraid to go in depth, to
Well, and
really
I think
even
there's a
have a
sense
Bible.
of
Yeah, right.
you have to be told what the proper belief is in
Yes,
Catholicism as well.
you can't take a chance on trying to figure it out and understand it. You have to be told what's okay.
And my concept, as you'll see on Bible study, is that we all have something to offer because we all come from different places
Yeah.
in our experience. And so you may experience the story of the prodigal son very differently from how I read into it. And Jeanette might have a very different take because of something that happened in her life 25 years ago that we don't even know about. But that's,
Right.
she
Yes.
reads into it with that lens. And it's the same thing for the whole Bible. I mean,
Yes.
things 2,000 years ago were very different from they are
Yeah.
now. So we have to kind of understand that everyone comes at it from a
And I
different
think
angle.
of even all of the Bible, there are different ways of interpreting it.
Right.
Yes. I think every bit of the Bible,
Absolutely. And I
and
think it's
there's
important to
no
be in conversation about it and
right,
not
and there's
just.
no right nor wrong,
Right. There
Right.
are some generic things that we can kind of draw from it, and especially depending upon the type of literature that is written. So some of it's poetry, some of it's prose, some of it's historical. We might go at it a different way, but I think you're right. Everyone reads into it a different way, and that is good.
I mean, just read the scholars,
I could
They don't
pull
agree.
three different books off my shelf, and
And
they
they
all say
all,
something different,
that's
right?
right. Yes. I mean, they
Yes.
quote each other, and
Oh
they give
yeah.
credit to
And then
each other,
they argue
but
with each other.
right, but then they kind of take a different branch off of what the other people are saying or add to it or whatever. So, yeah.
Well, I think we're all on the same page about that, but
Mm-hmm.
it looks, was going to say someone's pulling in, but I think they were just slowing down.
Okay.
I think we're all in the same place then, as far as what we think. So why don't we talk about just the Bible today, and then I will propose what I think how we can move forward. My goal is to kind of keep these sessions to an hour, hour and 15 minutes, so that they're not overwhelming for people who, and then we can stay and talk as long as you want.
Sure.
But the
If we
meat of it,
get,
I'd like to keep to about an hour and 15 minutes, so
yeah,
that
the
people know
recording
how
of it,
the what?
the recording.
The recording,
Oh,
sure. And I think
mm-hmm.
at a certain point, we can certainly say, okay, we're done recording. Come and join us if you want to talk more.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Sarah was
Yeah.
kind of that way once we got into Thomas because that was different.
Thomas is great, but Thomas is different. You would
Yeah.
never hear a Gospel of Thomas discussion in the Catholic Church, to go back to your point.
Absolutely. But
Nor
you're
would you hear the
interesting.
Gospel of Mary Magdalene or any of
Right.
those things. So I like to start with a prayer just to ask the Holy Spirit to be with us. And I love this prayer from the Book of Common Prayer. I think it was one of Vicky's favorites as well, speaking of Vicky, but let us pray. Blessed Lord, who caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read them, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which you have given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
I just love the inwardly digest part of that. I think
Yep.
it's something that we don't do enough of. We don't think about what that means for us. So,
Or what that does for you when you think digest, the word digest.
digest, yep.
If you digest something fully, your whole body, your whole spirit, everything improves.
And you break it apart,
Yes.
which is something that we are not always comfortable doing. What you looking for?
I'll clean it.
Oh, okay.
Here, right
I
here.
just, I'm so chaotic.
There.
That's just my
You want your
husband.
own box? They're there.
I don't want to take Jeanette's supply.
Yeah, I always need a box. My nose is always running.
Allergies and
Yes.
everything are
Or
just like,
bleeding.
Yes.
Well, using these tissues, it might bleed
Yeah.
more.
Yeah.
So we'll come back to this, but the way I envision this working is we'll start with a prayer, review what we did last time, encounter a new story or a set of stories, which is going to be your homework to like read in advance. And then I would love us to retell what we thought the story was in our own words, because I think that's part of inwardly digesting, is saying,
Oh, that was
here's what
great.
I got from that. Here's what I heard. Here's what spoke to me. And then we can engage with the story together and work with one another. And there are places where if we go with what I think I have some images that might help us to kind of unpack the story. I don't know if that was part of the old Bible study process, was looking at images that might
No, but
talk
I
about.
like that
Yeah.
approach.
Yeah,
With
again, we all learn
homework.
different
With
ways, right?
homework.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then we can talk very quickly about what the next week is, and then disengage and talk any more that we want.
Sorry about that.
Oh, that's fine. So
One
again.
thing that I'd like to learn more about is this transitioning. I was reading a little bit about just starting with, say, Genesis and the two creation stories. And I'd like to learn more about how our Bible and the people who wrote it were influenced by other cultures that existed at that time. Because I read a little bit about the fact that there was the Sumerians and the Acheladians had similar creation stories.
You're talking
And
about like the Epic of Gilgamesh and the Enuma Elish. You may
yeah,
not know the names,
yeah,
but the other flood stories that are out there,
yeah,
and
or
yep.
just creation, let
Okay.
alone flood. Yes. And and how they related and influenced our Bible and the people who wrote it, and the fact that there's some claim that, for example, Genesis never really got finally written until the Babylonian
Heresy. No, I'm just
period.
kidding. Joking. I said heresy. Heresy.
They
That's right. Yeah.
But factors like that.
Yeah.
You know, and these four editing or transitioning groups, I've forgotten now exactly what they're called. There's the Priestly. Mm-hmm.
JPC and Sega. D. J, the Jehovah. Uh-huh. P, the Priest. D, the Deuteronomical. Uh-huh. And I cannot, wow, for the
a,
life of me.
Is there a history
I've
one?
Never heard that.
It's an H, I think. You're right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Historical.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how those four transitioning or editing groups affected the Bible.
Well, we're going to talk about
and
that.
When did things really get sort of finalized the way it's in the Bible? I mean, because I read someplace that, like, even Genesis never really got finished until the Babylonian time.
Well, know? And if we think about...
when, you know, they were in exile.
Right. And know, if we think about the Bible and being written, mm-hmm, writing didn't happen until long after the oral tradition was in place.
Yes,
so
right,
so
right,
there's
right.
that whole thing, too.
Yes.
And mm-hmm, even with the Gospels...
yes.
The fact that they weren't right. written right away and it was an oral tradition made
right.
the stories fluid for a very long time.
Yes, yes.
But next week then, and this is a perfect lead into what we'll be talking about
okay.
next week, we are going to talk about Genesis.
Oh,
and so we're going to okay. see the interplay
okay.
of
okay.
two different creation stories mm-hmm. and how they are actually fitting together perfectly in the Bible.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But I'll make sure that we focus on that more then. So that's a great
yeah.
call out.
Yeah.
And we can talk also, about the sources and
yeah, relate to
the four source theory.
Yes. That
yeah.
had.
Okay.
I was also raised Roman Catholic. Never had a Bible in the house. You know, we weren't supposed to. Went to a private Catholic high school, and I so remember the second year. I only was there for 2 years, and I couldn't handle it anymore because the second year you study the life of Christ, it's an actual textbook they use, and in my really rebellion stage, question everything that was said, that was written, and it was taught by Monsignor. And he kept saying to me, we don't question, we accept on faith, just accept that on faith. And there wasn't, you know, I was very scientific at the time, and, you know, I thought, nah, that doesn't work for me. But I eventually married a Jewish man, and converted to Judaism and studied before the conversion ceremony, studied the Talmud for a year with a rabbi. That gives you a whole different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
But the Old Testament has fascinated me from those early, you know, teen years as a historic picture of what monotheism versus, I don't know, what's it called, polytheism. It just always fascinated me, and I'm still reading a book in how cultures came together with a belief in something.
Right. And there are aspects of the Hebrew Bible, which is what I call the Old Testament, because that's... You're fine.
Here.
It's water. No worries.
Sorry.
Sorry. We're doing well, aren't we? We are. I'm
Tiffany went to grab some paper towels too.
Okay.
There are places in the Hebrew Bible, Old Testament, that reference gods instead
yes.
of God.
Yes.
As
yes.
well.
And I actually have a Bible that one side is Hebrew, and one side is not monotheism. It's a different. It shows
okay.
you comparisons between the two. Which was really interesting for me. But being a bibliophile, I've always looked at it, even though I have a very strong spiritual faith, particularly the Holy Spirit, which I think is here with us all the time, that it's a record, it's an oral record that eventually became a written record of what people believe. You know, believed from a total aspect, the creation, what is happening in that moment in time in their lives, and the tribes and the fighting and all that. That's always been sort of historic for me, rather than biblical, spiritual. Then we get to the New Testament, And that's a whole different approach on things. Mm-hmm. And that's what I question constantly about those stories. How, for instance, the eclipse. So I was someplace I read that on Good Friday there was an eclipse. And historically,
yeah,
and that's
right.
What that was about. Mm-hmm. But of course, no, it was all God, you know, and I just...
Well, I mean, having experienced the eclipse, I can certainly say that if we didn't have science today, you would be in awe, wondering what heck is going on for these 3 minutes, right?
Yes.
I mean,
it was so unbelievably black.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
I couldn't believe it.
More than night.
It was worse because you could see the edges too,
yes.
And it was very, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I thought that had to have been
so eerie.
Friday.
Yeah.
And how that would have affected both the believers and the non-believers.
Yes. Yeah.
And you have to wonder if that was the event that was actually that day or if that just stuck out in their minds. And so the stories kind of began to meld.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean,
because in real life that happens.
Right.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
For
so
sure.
That's where I'm at.
Okay.
That blackness was scary.
If you hadn't known what was going on, you would have been terrified.
We hadn't been warned in advance.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. I never believed that it would get that black.
Mm-hmm.
You know, totally black.
And
within three
it
seconds, it was like.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. It was
and
like.
So
yeah.
I thought that's what I thought that day.
Yeah.
I mean, it came so close.
I thought, okay, we'll take a minute and get darker, and
it
did get darker, and then all of a sudden it was.
And I didn't think it was going to be that black. I had the lights out in my house,
Friday.
And it was so black I couldn't even get from one room to the next.
Uh-huh. That's right.
To the wall. You know, unbelievable.
Yeah. So we all around this table are clearly somewhat biblical or Bible literate.
Mm-hmm.
88% of Americans own a Bible.
Oh, that's interesting. More than I thought.
Well, we'll get there. With an average of almost 5 Bibles per household.
Oh,
yes. Really?
Yeah.
Well, if your kids are involved, no matter what church.
Mm-hmm.
And there's different versions, and so sometimes people get two different versions because they like looking at the way that the two different versions read. And
different versions.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of the 1800s, which is kind of a historical family thing.
Yeah.
But then 4 kids that went through various stages of religion, and.
Even the software I have on my pad here, I have all versions.
What do you use? Olive Tree?
No, it's called, I think it's called Bible Gateway. All versions.
Bible Gateway is free.
Yeah.
And you can do parallels next to one another.
Oh, perfect.
Yep. There's also Olive Tree, which is an app, and you have to purchase different versions, but the nice thing about Olive Tree, I think Bible Gateway does the same thing. You can purchase other add-ons that then kind of coexist along it. So you could see dictionary right next to it and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I think Bible Gateway does the same thing.
Okay, I got to pull that up.
Yeah.
And we can talk more about what the Bible going digital means at some point.
But what's great about Bible Gateway is what I have.
You
can
search.
Right.
You know, within the whole Bible.
Right. So yesterday I was meeting with a... Yeah. Yesterday I met with a family about a funeral that's happening tomorrow. And she's like, I really liked that verse about sparrows in one of the Gospels. And... it's both in Matthew and in Luke, and it talks about the sparrows being just as important as the hairs on your head. And it wasn't quite what they were looking for in the grand scheme of things, but it was certainly easy to do a quick search and find out that it was in two places, and it really was not what they were looking for. But the Bible going digital has its own implications, which we can talk about at some point or throughout it, because it's so easy to grab a verse and not see... in the old scroll you had before and after, right? And now you've just got,
But you can do that in Bible Gateway. You can see just the verse, or you can see the chapter, or you can see the book.
Right.
You've got those choices.
Right. You have to make
the
choice,
though. You can see the context.
Right, yeah. Your question, about 37% of Americans actually look at the Bible regularly. So although almost 9 out of 10 have it, Only about 3 out of 10.
It's got a lot of dust on the cover. Yeah.
Only half can name one of the four Gospels.
Oh, really? Wow. Oh, my. That's just...
More than half can't name the first book of the Bible. More than half of United States citizens can't name where Jesus was born. They say he was born in Jerusalem. Quarter of Americans think that Acts is in the Old Testament, and more than one-third say they don't know. And here's the one that got me. At least 10% of the Americans think that Joan of Arc was Noah's wife.
Where were their history teachers? Oh, funny.
You have to wonder where they were in a whole bunch of classes.
So there were some questions done, and I think it was the Barna Group that, because the Barna Group does a lot of work about religious and Bible.
Can you spell that?
B-A-R-N-A.
Oh, that's not who I thought it was. Okay.
And they do a lot about the, they're the ones who talk about the sums and nuns. Some religious, no religious affiliation, religious but not affiliated, spiritual but not religious, that they've started to kind of come up with those groups. They identified why people don't read it regularly. And number one, we're too busy. No, but it's what way you prioritize, right?
Sure.
Priests do it, but normal people don't have to do it. I already learned the stories in Sunday school. Well, apparently it didn't, because Joan of Arc is not anywhere in the Bible. But I already learned the stories in Sunday school, and so I don't need to learn any more about it.
Oh, yes.
And then the biggest one, though, was people were just intimidated because they felt like they were being dropped on a map into the wilderness and didn't even know where to start.
Right.
And they can name certain landmarks. They can name Moses or the Ten Commandments or Jonah and the whale, or Jesus walking on the water, but they don't see how the stories fit together either. And so that's a big intimidator.
Yeah. Well, so it's just the language that's used.
Because right, depending on your translation.
If the Bible they have is an older one, they're reading King James.
Or the genealogies, Bible Gateway and things like that have made it easier because people can quickly say, oh, I want to read the book of Jonah and find out where it is, because paging through your Bible to find Jonah, if you don't know the layout of the Bible, that's another hindrance, right?
When I first got a Bible, I had to put all these on because I had no clue. You know, when you read day by day and it says now, I had no clue.
And it's even helpful for people who do know where the stuff is. I've got them on some of mine. And we don't know how to start, right? I mean, where are we going to start for our journey? I took months to try and figure out where we're starting for our journey, so... Yeah.
Are you going to also be able to, as we do our homework and go through the process of trying to understand this guide to, I see it as my guide to my spirituality, and just from a standpoint of learning historically what happened, recommend some books?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Okay.
I have some resources that will be helpful.
Great.
They say that this is supposed to be a 24-week series. I honestly think, knowing what we know about one another and the conversations that we have, that it will probably be longer.
Yes. Yes, definitely.
Forever.
Well, but I think, I think there's, and the way that it works, so it's kind of sounds like this is working into what I thought it might. Every week we have an icon. It's not a painted icon or a written icon. It's just a picture that they provide that kind of refocuses us on what is this week's theme, essentially. So the first week, I'm just going to give you a quick example. The icon is... I've got all this stuff in here. I don't need all this stuff because... we're going well outside of what they imagined. I'll point it this way in a second.
Oh.
So it's a simple line art thing.
Oh.
What do you think that might remind you of?
Stars, the moon, the sky.
So creation, right? So
yeah.
First week is going to be creation. And then each week they give you a simple thing. And I'm going to put them around the room to kind of remind us of our journey as we go. So I'm going to try and find some space up there for the 24 in a row. So that...
That symbolism.
Yeah, okay. And you might be, by the time we're done, be able to say, hey. but we might spend 2 or 3 weeks on one of those icons, depending upon how our discussion goes. I like two versions for me. I like the NRSV, which is what we traditionally read in church, and is probably the Bible that most of you have.
Isn't it the updated one?
NRSVUE. I'm not sure what.
So this is the internet.
NIV?
NIV.
Okay.
Okay. But, yeah.
NIV has a more evangelical tone.
That's what I've been told. I bought this very early in my,
I'm going to offer some options
here. In my
here.
Awakening. So.
The other one I like is the Common English Bible, the CEB. It's very similar to the NRSV, but it tends to be, I don't want to say that they changed words like mankind to humankind, although I think that they may have, but it seems to be more common usage of words than picking words that might be troublesome to try and figure out what they mean. I'm trying to think of an example because I can't right now. My brain is mush.
The one that is the Bible of the Episcopal Church is the NSRV.
We have 8 approved versions.
Oh, okay.
The King James Version is allowed to be used in church, and people do use it. Yeah. CEB is also approved.
Okay.
The Message is actually approved for the Episcopal Church on non-primary services.
Mm-hmm.
So the Message is a paraphrase. I don't know what we know about the Message here or what we've talked about it. It was a going back to the original words and rephrasing everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so the verses and stuff don't necessarily correlate directly. So instead of the story of the prodigal son being certain verses and reading the exact same way, it might be something like, "My son, I'm so happy you've come back. I'm so happy to see you. Let's have a party." So it's really common, common language. And what is nice about that, I would never use it to preach from, but it's nice to get an idea of the story. And I would bet you that like the genealogy in the beginning of Matthew might look a lot different in the Message.
Sitting in the pew, and I've thought of this over the years of attending St. Paul. I would sure like to see a Bible in each pew.
Are they not there?
No.
Okay.
The Common Book of Prayers.
No. Well,
and
right.
And then the hymnal.
And the hymnals, yep.
Yeah, hymnals.
Two
there hymnals. Are no Bibles.
No.
Okay.
And however we can make that happen.
Whether we put one on the edge. I mean, it doesn't need to go on the book stand area. It could be on the cushion.
Maybe that's why. Maybe it doesn't fit.
It may not fit, right?
Yeah, but I think having a Bible someplace in the pew.
And I think we used to have a ton of Bibles over there.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have cleaned out or...
Linda and I worked on, trying to triage that area.
But what would you use it for in church?
Well, if you come early or you stay a little longer after the service and you want to
read the context, like around the readings.
Yes, exactly.
For an
exactly.
Yeah.
Or the Psalms, something that brings you in or sets your stage for the week, something like that.
Sure.
I mean, yes, we have the service, but I just often...
And the Psalms are all in the Common Prayer.
They are in the back, yes.
Different version. So they're their own translation.
Oh,
that is not.
That's
it's not NRSV.
Oh, really?
It's not. It's its own version.
That.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that either.
Yeah.
But anyways,
which
I
is why
off the track,
Psalm 23 sounds different in the Book of Common Prayer than what you're used to, or even in your Bible. So I'm going to say that I would prefer, in terms of us reading together, what version are you typically using? NRSV?
NRSV, UE, whatever, yes.
Okay, and NRSV for you. What I hand you is going to be NRSV, but whatever you want to use is perfectly fine, obviously. And I don't know if it's helpful to hand out the readings or to give you a reference for the readings that we're going to be talking about next week. So I have two options for today. I have one that just cites the scripture and has the questions that are involved in it, or I have one that actually prints it out so you can make notes on it. I don't know what's more useful.
To start with, I prefer the long one.
This one?
That it put notes on.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll talk about this in a second, but I just wanted to make sure that she gets it before she leaves as well.
Okay.
What I said is there's also a version that just has a scriptural citation on it. I don't know if that's on. I didn't know how many to make. I really had no clue how many people would see.
So is this directly from the Bible?
This is yeah, and I'm going to talk about that.
Okay,
because you don't have any verse.
The
numbers.
Scriptural citations are at the end.
At the very end.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to look in your Bible,
okay,
they're on the second last page.
Okay, great.
So this is exactly from the NRSV. It doesn't change anything. It may omit a few verses here and there. And the other thing that may happen is that they may change a pronoun to a name, and they would indicate that with brackets if they did. But otherwise, it is identical to what is in your Bible.
Okay, so this is totally Genesis 1 to 3:24.
It is Genesis 1 to 2:9, and then they skip from 10 through 14, and then they start 15 to 3:24 again.
Okay.
So there's a little break in the middle of it. I'm not quite sure what the break is. My guess is it is after the generations of the heavens and earth before Garden of Eden.
Might be the genealogy.
It may be. I would guess it's a genealogy thing because that's one of those things that's tough to read.
Yeah, very.
And you want us to study the questions, I think.
So, okay, so it's the same thing. It's just the questions and the citation, and it doesn't have the printing. So that's the only difference, is that one has the words out for you.
Should
this one doesn't.
Are we supposed to take this?
You don't have to if you have that one.
Oh,
it's the identical thing, except
this
is all this stuff.
So that's our assignment?
So this is going to be our assignment
read
for next.
Read and study the questions.
Read, and then I think we can, I mean, look at the questions ahead of time, and I think we'll discuss the questions. I do have some more stuff to talk about, but I want to make sure you had that before you left.
I
appreciate
that. I'm sorry to disrupt.
No, I get it. I wanted to talk about what the Bible is for all of you.
It's God's Word.
Okay. Gigi looks like she's going to disagree slightly.
Oh, that's good.
I would too, but I want to hear what she has to say.
Sort of, because I see this as a historic presentation. A historic presentation of what.
Wait, you're talking about the Bible as a whole?
I'm talking about the Bible as a whole.
Or do we need to split off the Old Testament and the New Testament?
Yes.
Is that part of it? Okay, so let's talk about the Old Testament.
I see them as two distinct stories.
But not all of the Old Testament is history.
No, but I'm saying, I think because it was all oral, and I see a lot of, you know, I picture that game where somebody whispers in your ear something.
Telephone,
Exactly. And by the time it gets to the end, it has a whole different look on things, and things happen through those, you know, eras and decades and centuries, and it was passed on orally until then. I think it was the Hebrews that originally started writing some of these stories, or maybe some Greeks. I mean, the languages. I'm fascinated by the change in the languages, and then how that got translated into maybe not the first version, that was whispered, but you know, a different version. I see a lot of allegory in the whole story, mm-hmm. but the basic theme for me is this one being, this one, not even a being, this one power.
Spiritual being.
A spiritual power over mm-hmm. the whole universe of the earth. Mm-hmm. Again, during the eclipse, I kept thinking, we are the only planet that we know of in the universe that has people living on it. Why is that? Why did that come about?
That we know of.
That we,
that
know,
we
of.
Know of.
I think there are many other planets that have living
yeah,
beings.
Yeah, but I'm saying in relation to the Old Testament, then that was all written down as they perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. As they saw it. Now, some mm-hmm. of it, though, all those battles and
sure.
this tribe and that tribe, and mm-hmm. you know, just fascinates me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I read a book years ago called The Hajj. It's fiction, but it starts in the earliest Middle East time and how even then, those same tribes that are fighting today
mm-hmm.
fought.
Mm-hmm.
And how it will ever probably be that way. And
mm-hmm.
so I see the Old Testament as that foundation to take us into the plan that God has for us. And then we transitioned into the revealing of the plan through the New Testament. That's kind of how I interpret it.
So you mentioned that through the oral game of telephone,
yeah, yeah.
things changed.
Oh yeah, I think so.
My experience in seminary also would reinforce that through the written game
oh.
of telephone,
yes.
things changed.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best experiences I had is our teacher had us do calligraphy on papyrus. And we were just copying Greek. Now, for those of us who understood Greek, it wasn't a problem, but most of the scribes that were there didn't necessarily understand what they were copying. And so an alpha
yeah,
might have lost
exactly.
its accent.
Yes.
And so that changed the meaning of the word. So I think that mm-hmm. that continued even afterwards.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And from language to
and
language.
And from language to
language.
I mean, you make choices when you're translating. You
yes.
don't translate.
Right. Correct.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially for idioms,
yeah.
it just doesn't work.
Exactly. So,
well,
sorry.
Even in our English language, words have more than one meaning. You know?
Right.
No.
And they change over time.
Yeah.
I was listening to
and
something on the radio.
New words are created over time.
At first blush,
mm-hmm. yes.
what does that first blush mean?
Mm-hmm.
What does it mean?
Or beyond the pale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but at first blush means at first glance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the word blush used to mean
yeah.
not getting red, but looking at something.
Mm.
It has completely changed meaning.
Wow.
And the idiom has retained its meaning, but try to translate that now, and
mm-hmm.
someone who is not a native English speaker goes, at the first time I got red, I don't, right? I mean,
yeah.
So even things like that.
In my third or fourth journey, whatever it was, of coming back to Christianity, there was a PhD course offered down where we lived in Poise Island by a Greek scholar, young Greek scholar, and the whole course was the Gospel of John, and at the end he had to write, to get this PhD ready, he had to write this, what does the Gospel of John mean? And when I think back of what I thought then versus what I have grown in my own spirituality, oh my gosh, I was so naive. I was so so not understanding anything about, you know, what's going on here. But that's why we're here. That's
right.
why I'm here.
Right. And you sounded like you were objecting to it being God's word directly, correct? Is that, did
yes.
I get that sense? I know
yes.
you have to go, so.
Yes, I am, because if I were to say what God is speaking to me, I'm not sure. And over my lifetime, I think, I don't think that's really what he said to me.
Okay.
I don't think that's what he really meant me to do.
Okay.
You know, it was because we're all, you know, in our own.
Well, and humans wrote it down, so.
Yeah.
I would amend what you said to an inspired description of God's word.
Ah, there. Yeah. Inspired.
Not necessary. And
yeah. It's not verbatim. It's
correct.
I'm sorry to have to correct. Be.
Yeah, thank you for being here. We'll see you next week.
I wanted to show up to. I am so interested and so happy to have you in our group. Because,
yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
She's good. She's smart.
Well,
bye-bye.
See you next week.
What do we turn to the Bible for?
Say again?
What do we turn to the Bible for? Like, what do we use the Bible for?
Many different things.
So can you name one? What do you turn to the Bible for?
I just want to learn the stories.
Okay. So it's a storybook.
That's one thing.
Okay. Entertainment. Yeah.
No.
Well, no. A storybook entertainment in some ways, right? Mm-hmm.
What is God telling us to do? What are His commandments? What are His expectations?
So a rule book, or okay, yeah. Or an operating instruction manual.
What are the punishments if I do the wrong things?
Okay.
How bad am I going to be punished?
Advice. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Many, many, many different things.
Anything else?
My experience, for one thing, I looked at it coming from do not touch the Bible, let somebody teach you format, but the oral history aspect was what has always drawn me into it,
mm-hmm.
And the fascination with how basically frequently in most cultures it was women who told and retold the stories to hold families and tribes and clans together.
Which I think it's interesting that around the table, other than me, we had all women today.
Yes.
And I just point that out because I think it is, and it is typical.
Yes.
You know who we should get to attend is Bob Scheib.
Yeah.
He would, yeah.
He would be a great addition.
Art used to always be in our group.
Okay.
Oh, that's
so
right.
His health failed.
I remember him. Yeah, I remember him.
From the very beginning until his health failed and he couldn't get himself here.
Yeah.
But beyond that, so asking what the Bible has meant to me, from whenever I became aware, like maybe in high school or something, that the Bible could be part of my life if I put it into it. It was the oral history aspect of it that fascinated me. But later in life, like maybe 40 years ago, an Episcopal priest at Trinity in Lancaster had a Bible study that was very popular among his parishioners, and he had a parishioner that was dying of cancer, and her husband always was in the Bible study, and it was one of those courses that just flowed on year after year after year, and she always wanted to do it, but she had little children and couldn't, and then she got the cancer, and she was always too tired by the end of the day to do anything. So when he found out, he didn't really realize how much he wanted this. When he found out this from some little birdie, he decided to have a morning class. Well, he said he would come to her house and do it with her. And she refused because that was putting too much pressure on him. So he decided to do an end run. And a neighbor of mine was one of his parishioners, and he said, "See how many people you can drum up that would come in the morning, and we will have a class, and we will invite her to join our class." So that worked. So it was an ecumenical group because our street had the wife of the Presbyterian minister, a whole bunch of Catholics, and this Episcopalian, and so we all marched to the drummer, and so.
I think that's valuable, though, because,
Yes.
different traditions inform us in different ways.
And different emotions coming into it, because there were four of us that were Catholic. And we were apprehensive. Kind of like, should we be doing this? Should we tell anybody?
Right.
Maybe we should just be real quiet and sneak in. We can sneak out and we'll be fine. So she died in the process. And we asked if he would go on. He was amazing, Father Whiteford.
Yep.
And so he said, I will, but you have to do me a favor. He said, we've never touched, and we've been 2.5 years by this time, we've never touched on the Book of Psalms.
Never touched what?
On the Book of Psalms.
Oh.
And he said, that's my favorite book. He said, but it's poetry and it confuses people. So he said, you'll have to endure me, but we're going to do the Book of Psalms next.
Mm-hmm.
So I do like poetry.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always understand it, but I there's mm-hmm. something about the rhythm
yeah.
of words mm-hmm. put in a different way, mm-hmm. kind of moved around in the sentence. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's words with oral history, it's mm-hmm. kind of language from that point of view. So we had a fascinating course on Psalms. And then 15 years later, I went through an emotional trauma that put me in 3 or 4 years of deep depression. And I have no idea, it was just very strange, but I would come home. I was going through library school at the time, which was another twist on my life. So in my 50s, and I came home, and it wasn't that I was used to pulling the Bible out, wasn't that I was used to praying at that point in the day, and I couldn't pray. I was totally dead inside. But I picked up the Bible, and I opened it to Psalms. And I couldn't read, so I wasn't in library school yet. That was the next step. But, so I couldn't read. I couldn't even read a Reader's Digest joke and understand what was funny because I couldn't remember the top lines of Reader's Digest. But I read the Psalms, and I read from the beginning over the course of 4 years to the end, about 5 times.
Well,
but every single day I would come in mm-hmm. and I would just pick up the Psalms
yeah.
and read it. And I had no idea why. I didn't know anything that was floating through my head word-wise. But it was a rhythm. It was
right.
like breathing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So and for you, at that point, the Bible was a devotional or an inspiration.
But it wasn't doing anything inside of me because I wasn't digesting anything.
You didn't think it was doing anything
right.
inside of
yeah.
me. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So several years later, when I reflected on this period of real darkness, that the only thing I read, and it didn't make any more sense than anything else I would try to read, was the Book of Psalms.
Mm-hmm.
And I just realized that
yeah.
that was how I was holding on to God. I didn't get angry,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't cry. I didn't do any of the normal things you do when you have a crisis.
Yeah.
I was just a blank slate.
Yeah.
But
I think
that
another
was
thing
how God held on to me and how I held on to Him.
I think another thing when Reverend Jason, you said what. Do you pick up the Bible and read? And I think another aspect of it is the New Testament, this wonderful, unbelievable person named Jesus,
mm-hmm.
you know, and how he embodies love and how we should try to emulate him. And it's impossible, but I mean, this is it. This is
mm-hmm.
the goal. This
mm-hmm.
is the unbelievable, you know, person who sacrifices himself, you know, for us, for our salvation.
Yeah.
So, unbelievable. You know.
So, the Bible's a lot of things together.
Yeah, for sure.
That seem unrelated.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, at the same time, it has unity. God speaks to many different people mm-hmm. and in many different ways, but God is still speaking in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a common thread. It's the common thread is the inspiration of whoever's writing it or speaking, right? Is their experience with God.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
As you mentioned, maybe not the word of God, but the interpretation of the word of God, or how it affected the people who are writing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we think that God inspired them to write down or to at least tell their story that was eventually written down.
Mm-hmm. So do you think it's important to take into consideration the context of what you're reading?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
We wouldn't, okay. Back to your point, if you had tried to read the Psalms when you actually were in that Bible study as a historical account,
yeah.
Nothing but a work there, right?
Yeah.
Or if you were to try and read Chronicles as poetry, that wouldn't work either.
Right.
So we have to understand the context in which everything was written as
yeah.
well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have to believe that God is still speaking to us today through those words, even though they were written however long ago they were written, depending on the book.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. inspires us through those words in various ways.
Mm-hmm. But then you frequently think, geez, did you have to leave so much out?
Yes.
True.
You said more
true.
On this subject.
True. Well, and that's the
I
whole,
feel like that a lot.
Talking about the New Testament, that's the whole
yeah.
search for the historical Jesus is
yeah.
what among these stories is actually something that we can document versus what among these stories is some way that Jesus made people feel, and so they interpreted it in a specific way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Psalm 19, the first, I think it's 4 or 5 verses in Psalm 19, to me, it explains everything. And I can never remember verbatim, but it's that creation spoke at night to the daytime, and the daytime spoke, and there were no words, there was no language,
mm-hmm.
but they told their story from day to
yeah.
night.
Which one is this?
19, I think.
19? Okay.
And it's beautiful poetry.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it also says a tremendous mm-hmm. amount about just breathing, and that's what explained to me why I read Psalms and didn't know what I was doing,
mm-hmm.
but I was doing something.
I thought that's the one. It starts, the heavens are telling the glory of God.
Mm.
It's that Psalm.
Yeah.
Let's see. Let's skip that. We've talked about it. As Episcopalians, we believe the Bible's true. We believe it contains a great deal of historical truth and fact, and we also believe that some of it is allegorical and that it isn't actually true as written, but points to...
Not verbatim.
Right, right. Don't take it as
verbatim.
Literal truth.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that's important. Here comes Susan. Noah's story is a really good example of that. And we'll talk about that in a few weeks. Hi. Are you here for Bible study?
Yeah.
We started at 10.
You started at 10? Well, are you finishing?
We're yes. finishing up, but
yes.
we'll talk, so just sit.
Oh.
And there are metaphors that you have to clearly take as a metaphor, and we'll discuss those more.
Yeah.
And actually, I was getting to the point where I'm summarizing for next week. So, but you and I can sit and talk.
It's the 11. Because I was thinking the same thing. I had to go back and check if it was at 10 or 11, because today's the 11.
Could you introduce us?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I'm Sue. At the 10 o'clock. Last name Lee.
Okay.
So Sue is also one of our Sunday school teachers for what grades?
You. Senior high.
6 through 12.
Okay.
So,
I'm Jeanette.
You know Tiffany. This is Jeanette Neal. And have you met Sue?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes.
And Gigi was here earlier but had to leave for an appointment. And
I use it in the 8 o'clock when I'm well enough to get up there early in the morning.
And Grace will be joining us once Grace is back in town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure about Doris. Doris had expressed some interest, but
she hasn't attended a Bible study.
Okay.
To my knowledge.
And I'm going to reach out to Bob, as you mentioned, to give him an invitation. Yeah.
Yeah.
He
would be an inspiration to us all.
Oh, it's true. So the way this is going to work, just to remind everyone, and it's probably a really good summary, is every week we'll have homework. So this is the homework for next week.
Okay.
See, you get come in time to get your homework. It is verbatim out of the Bible. It's the NRSV version. They leave some verses out, and it's not by verse number. And then at the end of those pages, you'll get some questions for your journey. So maybe some things to think about as you're reading through it.
And we can add our questions to
it. And you can add your questions to it. And so then each session, we'll start with a brief prayer. We'll review the previous week if we need to. Today we talked about what is the Bible, really.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are going to retell that story with our own words, essentially.
Okay.
So we're going to review it by retelling what we remember from the story.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're going to carefully separate allegory from...
I'm
going to
try my best.
Verbatim.
I'm going to try my best. And then we're going to engage with the story through the questions.
Okay.
And I have some images that I can pull into.
Okay.
So maybe like a painting of creation. And maybe that will help to spark some discussion. And then we'll preview the next session. And so we're guessing between 60 and 75 minutes a week.
Oh.
It is supposed to be 24 weeks, but given our discussion today, I suspect that it will go longer than that. One of the things that they do provide for each of the story things, see that little icon above the number one?
Mm-hmm.
So each week there's an icon that kind of reminds you of what the story was about and ties everything together. And we're going to post those along the top of the wall. And so after 24 sessions, whether that's 24 weeks or however many, we'll have a good story of what we talked about. And hopefully there's a common theme that runs through everything we talked about, Darlene.
Is this old and new?
It's old and new. We're going to try and separate the two and not mix them, because you would just like trying to read Psalms at the same time as reading a gospel. It's really hard to try and mix literary styles, so we're going to try and keep literary styles compartmentalized as much as we can. But we can, that doesn't mean that we can't say, oh, well, what do you remember from Matthew as we read this, or you know, that kind of thing. But that's kind of where we are. Do you have any questions? Do you have any things that you want me to make sure other than what we've already discussed? So I know we want to talk about how other cultures influenced the Bible story or the writing of the Bible. And it's specifically, we talked about the flood and we talked about the four source theory.
Yes.
The what theory?
The four source theory.
Source. Oh.
When you said the J, the P, the...
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, the Deuteronomists and
the D and the H.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So what was the J?
Judges.
Oh.
And there's a Y. I can't remember the letters right now.
Oh, maybe you said Jehovah.
There's a P. I said Jehovah
priest.
At first.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which
priest.
Is the priest, but it's it's actually P.
Yeah.
That's all I've got. Anything else that we should... That's where I was. Other things that to consider as I plan for the next week.
That sounds really interesting.
Okay.
Looking forward to it.
I am too.
Yes,
I am too.
Definitely.
And, you know, this isn't all about what I know, because as we found out today, we all know something and can bring something to the table. So,
well, and we
it's,
all came
it's
to
community.
The Bible in different ways, and our life experiences are different enough that we perceive it very differently. I mean, you walked on water with the wind sail. So
Jeanette will give us a report on how it feels to walk on water.
Is it windsurfing we're talking about.
She walked on water.
I fell into a lot.
It's harder than it looks, isn't it?
It wasn't. Peter tried to walk on the water to Jesus and sunk.
Okay. I'm going to.